Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
I want to open today's brain massage with a statement, what we could call God's manifesto. The biblical doctrine of divine sovereignty declares God is the only absolute ruler of his creation. The Bible teaches Christ created all principalities, powers, dominions, thrones, and that he is sovereign over all. The Bible especially declares that God is the ruler of the kingdom of man, which he created, and that his prerogative in the exercise of his power over all the kingdoms of men is independent and absolute. He declares his use of this prerogative in his revealed word. Most imagine God would do with his power what they would do if they had it. Therefore, they imagine God would be like them, arbitrary, fickle, selfish, tyrannical. The Bible reveals that the opposite is true of him. God grants free will to the creature he made in his image and likeness and is responsive to man's will. He limited man's power, which is a mercy. We have already seen what power does in the hearts of men, and we have encapsulated it in a maxim. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. God is not like us. Christ, who is the image of God, created all power and dominion, every principality, every throne representing a concentration or seat of power in the world. So please listen to what he did in the example he set. Christ Jesus, quote, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:6-8. This is the mind of Christ. God manifest in flesh gave up power. He laid down his scepter, removed his robes of sovereignty, and stepped down into flesh. And as a man, he humbled himself and quote, unquote, learned obedience, and did that through the sufferings he endured, Hebrews 5, verse 8. And that would refer to the excruciating ordeals of Gethsemane and Golgotha. He calls to us, be like-minded. Have that mind. Think that way. Let's read the passage again. It starts with these words. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2, 5-8. Notice that it is for this reason that God has, quote, highly exalted him and given him a name, Jesus, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9 and 11. But vain men think God is like them, and that he uses his power as a tyrant does, only has justification since he's God. God would have you to be like him, whose highest impulse is love, not power. Within the context of this great truth, that God is responsive to the will of the people, consider the following as sufficient to illustrate that. God operates on the principle of the consent of the governed. It appears that this is an eternal principle with God our Creator. Some simple examples. In the garden, he gave Adam and Eve a choice. Genesis 1-3. Till the flood, God left men to the consequence of their own choices. After the flood, he formed his own nation and ordered it differently than those who follow the pattern of Nimrod. Genesis 10:11, he did not appoint over them a king. He said this through Moses. When your heart becomes hardened and you desire a king, here is the law that you will use for governing the appointment and the conduct of the king. That's interesting, Deuteronomy 17. When they asked for a king about 354 years later, Samuel the prophet complained that the people wanted a king like the other nations around them, and he felt they were rejecting him and his leadership. God told Samuel they had not rejected him. Rather, they rejected God as king over them. 1 Samuel 8:7. Yet God was responsive to their will, their choice, and gave them a king. Later, when Saul rebelled against God and was told he would be replaced, God chose David, and the prophet Samuel anointed David to take the throne. However, Saul continued for about 15 years before he died. And when Saul died, listen, David did not do what the other nations did. He did not organize his band of 600 men and ride into Israel to take the throne and say, I'm the king. He asked God whether he should go up to his people, and God said he should. He paused and asked for direction regarding where he should go up, and God said, go to Hebron. David's own people, the tribe of Judah, embraced him and made him king, but he did not force himself on them or demand they submit to the prophecy everyone knew was on him from God through Samuel. Think about this. This is very important. God said he would be king in the place of Saul, but he didn't force himself on the people. They made him king. So the Bible says, when David was made king of Judah, he did not organize an army and then go and conquer the rest of Israel and demand they submit to his throne. No, he remained king of Judah only for something like 7 years. And when he did finally become king of all Israel, it wasn't until the rest of the tribes made him king, invited him to be their king of their own free will. All the good kings of Israel were made kings by the people. Only a few of the wicked kings of Israel behaved like the other nations and seized the kingdom by force and violence. The rule of Israel was received, not taken. There's so much more, but one more example. When God complained against Israel for leaving him, he attributed it to, quote, setting up kings, but not by me, Hosea 8:4. You see, they set up kings according to their will, contrary to God's will. They set up their own rulers without his guidance or consultation. God allowed it, but that doesn't mean he approved it. God is responsive to the will of the people. Now, I said that would be the last one, but we also need a witness from the New Testament, don't we? Jesus is Prince of the Kings of the Earth right now, Revelation 1:5. He rules over all principalities and powers and dominions now in the world that now is, and he will continue in the world that is to come, Ephesians 1:21. And yet Jesus requires the consent of those he will govern. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9. It's whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13. It's like I said earlier, this does not mean there are no consequences for making the wrong choice. When he returns, he's going to say, quote, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me, Luke 19:27. That's a big part of what it means when it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, Romans 10:9. And this provides further insight into how this principle operates. It does not mean there are no consequences for making poor or bad choices in the exercise of our free will or volition. A casual consideration of our everyday experience testifies that we can exercise our free will to disastrous effect. And this is true personally, collectively, whether it be family, church, city, state, a nation. God is responsive to our choices in matters of consent appropriate to the choice or choices we make. If a people generally consent to tyranny, he delivers them to the power of the tyrant. This operates like any natural law. Gravity, whatever, name it. A tyrant cannot continue oppressing any people unless they, by default, consent to his tyranny. Even if they give their consent unwillingly, it is consent nonetheless. They've decided slavery is preferred to death, and so, in fear of death, they give their consent. Tyrants depend on consent. People yield to oppression through bribery in some cases, and in exchange for what, let's just say, the Democrats offer to give them, you know, from other people's money. And so they yield to become their puppets or slaves for what they get. In the extreme case, a tyrant cannot rule over the dead. Jesus put it this way, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew 10:28. Now, as for those who sell their freedom for government freebies, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. I guess if he had thrown in an iPhone or a cell phone, then they would buy in. It's ridiculous, isn't it? How many people will trade away their liberty and freedom to become slaves of the government? No tyrant can rule a dead man. And that's the reason it's impossible for tyrants to rule over Christians. I mean, real ones. It's the reason only genuine Christians could ever have produced a nation like ours. Only a people who declare, "Give me liberty or give me death," can rise from under the tyrant's boot. Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." And his Spirit declared, through the Apostle Paul, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." He has removed from Satan the power of death, Hebrews 2:14. He has given us the truth and his Spirit. The only way we lose our freedom and liberty is if we choose tyranny out of fear or covetousness. We cannot be the land of the free if we are no longer determined to be the home of the brave. The fearful cannot be free, nor if they are, remain so. Okay, hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I appreciate all of you who join me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling "The Enemy's on the March," an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. As I was preparing the show for this weekend, I got word from the dove that Trump has declared the war with the Iraniac regime is formally concluded. He sent a letter to Congress informing it that he considered the ceasefire to have terminated the hostilities and that the war was technically over. Hegseth said the same thing during his hearing before Congress. Now, as an aside, the Obama-Biden action in Libya went well beyond the War Powers Resolution's 60-day limit without congressional authorization, by the way. Trump is a master at messing with these jerks. Way to go. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. The blockade is not lifted, and our military is not withdrawing. Talks with the Iraniacs continue, and in the latest exchange, the regime sent a new proposal to which Trump responded, quote, "not satisfied," end quote. Trump has declared that the regime remains a threat, and he is keeping his options open for future action if needed. He might just decide to start a new action. Let's see what his next move will be. God is moving, and Satan is provoking. When God moves, Satan provokes. Satan provokes us to act in a manner that moves God against us. When this happens, we need to be careful to move with God as he responds to this whole thing instead of responding to Satan's provocations. Also, when God begins to move a nation for good in response to what he has seen in the hearts of his remnant crying out to him, Satan will enter in to provoke the people to resist God's moving. Now, this is illustrated by David. Notice in 2 Samuel 24:1, that again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, "Go number Israel and Judah." Well, when you go to 1 Chronicles 21, you see the same story, only with a huge difference. It begins this way. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. 1 Chronicles 21:1. God moved, Satan provoked. God is moving to deliver us from under the pagan notion of rule by force with violence. Violation, by the way, is in that word violence. When rulers take the kingdom by force with violence, breaking laws, violating laws like Virginia did, they are operating under the influence of the spirit of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:1-2. As Jesus said, Satan takes the kingdom by force with violence. He put it this way, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, Matthew 11:12. So to recap, the political doctrine known as the consent of the governed originated in the Bible, as I pointed out. God is responsive to the will of the people. He is not subordinate to the will of the people, but he acts in this world responsive to the will of the people. His response to man's universal abuse of free will is seen throughout the Bible, beginning in the garden, continuing to the flood, and demonstrated through his mighty works in and through Israel, as I pointed out in the last segment. The heathen operate on the principle of power and force and violence. They take it by manipulating the consent of the governed and or by stealing the power of the consent of the people. Election tampering is an example of this. Fraud or infringement, all of this is an attack on the doctrine of consent. The Save America Act is a We the People movement to assert our natural and divine right of consent. Every enemy of the Save America Act is an enemy of freedom, liberty, and justice for all, Thune et al. It's anti-American. It's the greatest evil of our time. It is the arrogance of Satan working in the children of disobedience, the lawless, the wicked, who hate and desire to kill and to quash dissent against their arrogant presumption to justify killing, destruction of property, threats, and intimidation, all to take away the people's right of consent. Hakeem Jeffries tried that in Florida recently. He got shut down because he could not intimidate the Floridians. Let's take a look at the April 29, 2026 decision in Louisiana versus Calais, in which the court ruled 6-3 that Louisiana's congressional map, which created a second majority black district, was unconstitutional, that the Constitution is colorblind, that race cannot be a primary reason for drawing a congressional district. The ramifications of these decisions are huge. It marks a milestone in the battle against the Democrat strategy of using racism to divide America into black and white. The SCOTUS upended a major obstacle against racial harmony and blending America into lovers of America as founded, who together stand opposed to those who hate America and want to see the constitutional republic replaced with a one-party system, with the Democrats permanently holding the power in this country, not we the people, rather their party. The court said 6-3 that congressional districts cannot be drawn on the basis of race. What about the question of whether congressional districts should be drawn along party lines? It's the same problem, friend, but from a different angle. You see, look, the reason the Democrats want to draw districts by race is that they assume this gives their party a political advantage. They don't care about racial issues. Those devils have always hated the black race. They are the most racist people in this country. They are the party of Jim Crow, KKK, the SPLC. You know that crowd, right? Southern Poverty Law Center, supporting white supremacist leaders. The Democrats have always hated the black people. It's about their party power. They've been using them. Look what they do to blacks that leave their reservation. Clarence Thomas, remember that one? I do. The Democrats are devils that hate America as founded and hate the fact that Abraham Lincoln beat them back and freed the slaves. Congressional districts should be drawn based on geographic and population criteria and on the assumption that all voters are American, regardless of race, religion, or creed. If it turns out that American voters tend to vote for American interests, what a surprise! You know, against those whose agenda is anti-American? Well, that's just the way that cookie crumbles. There is zero justification for purposely dividing congressional districts with party or racial majority aims. We cannot be one nation unless we recognize all citizens as having a shared identity with that nation. Creating separate nations within our one nation under God is the surest way to segment our nation into multiple factions, as Washington warned us in his farewell address, and this will surely destroy us. One way to stop this division of our nation into black and white is to stop forcing that division into our politics. The nation is what it is. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. Anyone coming into this country to be anything else in it except American is not welcome here. And that applies whether they are red or yellow or black or white. It's about Americans versus un-American. American versus anti-American. When congressional districts are drawn according to nothing more than geography and population, you get a true picture of what America consents to as a whole rather than artificially manipulated results. Our system protects minority interests in the affirmation and defense of our God-endowed inalienable rights, not the specialized interests of any subgroup. Anytime the special interests of any subgroup are not already covered by the rights that everyone enjoys, when any individual right cannot be included in the rights of all men, defining such special rights as a human right is invariably going to create an environment that violates the general human rights of everyone else. The Constitution does not guarantee any individual's claim to a special right that cannot be shared by everyone or exercised by everyone, nor can anyone claim as a human right something not shared in common with all humans. Finally, what about the case that a minority group within the nation must have equal representation in Congress, and therefore the elections need to be weighted in a way that creates parity in representation? In other words, if the black community has interests arising from a subculture experience that is not shared in common with, say, the white or brown communities, should we organize the elections to guarantee a disproportionate number of blacks or browns or whites in Congress to ensure their interests are represented? No. Should anyone here illegally have any representation in our Congress? No. Should anyone that is here legally but not a citizen have any representation in Congress? No. Should any group be allowed to hold citizenship who openly demonstrate hatred for our nation, openly declare their allegiance to a foreign power, and then steal from the taxpayer through fraud? Should they have a representation in our Congress on a par with Americans who have a love for their country and who honor our laws? The answer is no. But wait, you say, if someone is here legally and they are citizens who obtained that status legally, shouldn't they have representation in Congress? Yes, but not disproportionate to their numbers. They should be counted as Americans, nothing more, nothing less. They should not be counted as forming a separate group within the voting public that, as a group, has some claim to an equal share in congressional representation with any other group within America. If they are Americans, they vote with the rest of Americans, not as some special subgroup within the country. All black Americans, white Americans, brown Americans, yellow Americans vote as Americans. Congressional districts must not be drawn to divide Americans by race or ideological orientation. They should be drawn according to contiguous geography and the number of people living within those boundaries, facilitating access to the representative and providing for easy access by the representative to their constituents. And that's it. Imagine the absurdity if white supremacists argued that they are not fairly represented in Congress and demanded that congressional districts be drawn to assure that they have representation in Congress. It's just foolishness. Using any other criteria allows parties, racial or other political or ideological divisions in the community, to gain a disproportionate representation in our Congress, which is disproportionate to the population as a whole. We are one nation under God. Okay, join us this Sunday beginning at 9:30 a.m. as we enjoy Russ Miller, Creation Evolution of Science Ministries. This man knows his stuff when it comes to questions about creation and the relationship between biblical understanding of creation with this nonsense that they've invented in order to erase God out of our culture. So you really need to come if you have any interest in this subject. Tomorrow, 9:30 is when we begin. On Sunday, 9:30 is when we begin, and I hope to see you there. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see them. You can email me from our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net, find the contact button and fill in the form there and click send. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, and that number is 1-805-314-2114. I'll repeat it. 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church. I appreciate all of you who join me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Let My People Breathe. Unmasking the Mass Controversy with Science and Scripture answers two questions, and answers both definitively. Do masks work? That's the science part of the book. And after 964 scientific articles were examined, producing over 800 pages of notes comparing the studies with what real science says, the definitive answer is no. Chapter 5 is worth the price of the book. Natural filtration versus the masks. It'll blow your mind. Second question. Are medical mandate supported by the scripture injunction to obey every ordinance of man? Author and theologian Dr. Jerry Scheidbach has an earned doctorate and an earned reputation for excellent biblical insight and exegesis. He will show from the Bible that mask mandates are not supported by scripture. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m. Go to GodsWar2020.com.